extremely serious and heavy subject of praying for the persecuted church. A lot of times here in America, we catch little glimpses of what's going on around the rest of the world, and at times our lives can get so busy where we may not take the time to really appreciate or make the time to pray and give thanks for God that are put in sacrificial situations. Randy talked over the last couple weeks in the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 12 talks all about living sacrificially. And we are extremely blessed here in America up to now, hopefully for the foreseeable future, but things are changing, anybody that watches the news. But around the world, they don't have the blessings that we have. They don't have the comfortability of being able to share their faith openly, share their faith possibly at work, to carry a Bible around, to let people know what their faith is. And so we need to definitely not take that for granted. But let's pray, guys. Father, we just we cry out for your children, Lord, because they cry out to you. Even as we speak around the planet, Lord, there's your sons and daughters are in desperate need of more of you, of need of your grace and your mercy, of need of your protection, in need of your provision, Lord. And we just want to cry out to you in their place, Lord, and ask that your will would be done. We know at the end of the road we all end up with you, for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. And for some of us it may not be that easy of a road. Our faith gets grown and tested by life's challenges, Lord. And but we offer up prayers and ask in your precious name, Jesus, for those who desperately call on you today. In your precious name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the first part of the chapter. It talks about the body of Christ. And the thing I love about true religion, pure religion as it says in God's Word, is that we don't belong to a club warehouse. We don't belong to the social group warehouse necessarily. When you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not just in a club. It's not a club thing. It's not a group thing. It's a family thing. The first institution God created after he created all the animals and bacteria and bugs and plants and the air and the heavens was family. Family. And the first opposition the enemy brought to that was to destroy family. A true family is in true relationship with the Father through Christ Jesus. Amen? Since the beginning, scientists and all that crazy stuff, they want to disavow the first book of the Bible. And we're not going to delve into that today, but I'm extremely, extremely passionate about that. If you cannot believe the first thing God said, how can you believe the last thing God said? And God said family was good, light was good, the dark when the sun goes down and it's nighttime, it's good. Plants are good, animals are good, family is really good. The first thing the enemy did was to discount what God said and who his family was. And that's been happening ever since then. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. We're just going to jump in and touch base here on a few things. Like Randy said, before the end of the service, we're going to break into groups of four or five, and we're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes in prayer for people. Intercession is a beautiful thing. But when I got saved, that was one of the easiest things to do, was to learn how to intercede, to recognize that my life with Christ isn't all about me, that it's all about serving the family and body of Christ. And it's easy sometimes, for some of us, to intercede for others. And that's the purpose of today. It was the hardest thing I can share with you real quick, just praying for myself. I felt selfish. I'm like, I've got all I need, I think. I just felt wrong I've grown since then to lift up all kinds of prayers and requests. Lord, I need this. I need help with that. The list goes on and on. But God is explaining here in 1 Corinthians 12 how we are all one body, one spirit, one family. Not a bunch of different families, but one family. None more important than the others, because Christ is the head. Let me read here. I didn't jump over there. I apologize. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? You've heard us say this from the pulpit before. We're not all meant to be loudmouths like us. But each and every one of us serves a purpose, whether here in the Fox Valley, or in Thailand, or in Australia, or in the Middle East. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. If we jump down to verse 24, it says, But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And as I'm reflecting on the message this week, you guys that are parents here, what was it like when you heard the news one of your children had been hurt? What was it like for you to find out one of your children has passed away? And can you imagine our Father in heaven, how His heart breaks when the stuff that goes on in this fallen, dark world to His billions of children that have lived, are living, and will live. The pain you feel from something like that, there cannot be anything more imaginable for a parent. And God the Father in His awesomeness and His love can't even imagine the pain that He feels. He knows the outcome. He's told us about the outcome. But it still does not take away from situationally and from daily that He hears the cries of His people. He sees His children put to death. He sees His children tortured. Jump down to verse, we already did that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 37, guys. Christ is explaining to the disciples, and He's telling His followers, this is what's going on in the world. And this is why the situation is happening to me, going to happen to me, and is going to happen to you. So let me read here, verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Christ desires, in the midst of the passionate love I have for my wife and the passionate love I have for my daughter, and for my sister, for my everybody, falls a little short from what we should have for Christ Jesus. He's the head of the body. It's easier for us to love somebody we're holding, somebody we're living with, because we have the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in us. But Christ desires to be the head. He even goes on here and says, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The sign of the cross, as we see back here, we'll look at it a little bit more later, is suffering. The word passion means suffering. God says, it's not that golden ticket. You turn on Creflo Dollar, and please forgive me if I'm offending anybody. It's not, hey, God says you're going to be rich, you should never be sick, or your faith is weak, and if you're not healed, it's your own fault because you just don't believe God enough. That is not true Christianity. True Christianity is understanding that regardless, God has His angels surrounding us at all times. But for whatever reason, God permits things to happen to people around the world. And what we see throughout history and throughout time, and especially even in today, is that the more God's people are oppressed, the more God's people are persecuted, that their faith grows and the word and the gospel is spread. Amen? That's the reality of it. We've got it pretty cushy here in America. I've got to say, we're all kind of living, what's that 80s term? Large? Amen. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Some of us never get the full intention of that. Millions of people, as time goes by, live that, die that here on earth. They understand the meaning of those words more intently than we can this morning, I can honestly say. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. God, you are awesome. I do not understand a lot of whys, but you're the one. Your word explains who you are. Your prophecy explains that you are the living God and you know the end from the beginning. And sometimes from our position, it's hard to grasp that. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18. From the beginning, the enemy has sought to destroy the family. We see it in the court system now. The family is constantly under attack. Around the world, it's becoming Sodom and Gomorrah worldwide. Believe it or not. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, and let me stop here and premise this. The word world there is not talking about the buildings and the plants and the sky. The world, that word there is talking about the fleshly desires of men, of sinful man, the sinful nature, the lust, the greed, the hate, the covetousness. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. The name of Jesus. No other name under heaven that man can be saved is Jesus. For that name, groups are gathered together. Countries are gathered together. Because they cannot stand the fact that the God of light, the God of forgiveness, the God of love has a plan. When you read in John 3:16, you go on through 17 through 19 or 20 it is, it talks about how people of darkness love the darkness. When we're lost in our sin, we love the sin. And we will fight to keep in the darkness. And we see that happening around the world. We're going to watch a video here in a minute, and I want to forewarn you guys, it's pretty brutal. It's a reenactment of a real situation presented by Open Doors. They have an amazing website. I highly encourage you guys to go to, if you haven't gone to Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors, it's extremely eye-opening to see what's happening. The Pew Group, which is a liberal leaning group, estimates that approximately, and this is probably a conservative number, at this moment as we stand here this morning, 100 million Christians around the planet are being persecuted. 100 million. That's a third of the population of America. And most of them are in the area there along the Middle East and through China. The amazing thing about China is 20, 30 years ago, there was like a million Christians. I didn't write it down, and going on my old brain here, I might have forgotten a little bit. But it was only a few decades ago, there was a guesstimation, there was about a million Christians. Since the Communist Party has legalized their version of church, and said, you cannot practice church unless you belong to the government-sanctioned Christian church. There's over 300 million believers in China right now. 300 million believers in China, minimum. You cannot stop God's plan. Nothing can overcome God's power. God came and said, my gospel will be preached until the time of the end of the age of this world. And that truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to really have a greater understanding of what is going on in the world. You need to look at the news with the blinders off, understanding the reality of the situation. There's cushy little America, and that's changing. I'm not pointing a finger at either party or any politicians, because I think they're all guilty. But the situation is changing here in America. How long we may have these rights before they outlaw Christian teaching as hate speech? Just a matter of time, guys. Just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Ask anybody in the service what chaplains are allowed to share right now with soldiers in the field. Just a matter of time. We need to wake up. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also because of the name of Christ. Want to roll the video, guys?
Six of them went to church. My dad, my mom, and children, we are four. When we started, we sing praises. We pray for the peace of the nation. Then we pray for those persecuted Christians.
Also, nine in our family. During the prayer section, when the attack happened, we started hearing gunshots and the window.
My eyes was closed. I was screaming. So, but by the time I opened my eyes, I saw everywhere. Like it's fire. I was thinking that maybe so many people would die in the church.
Everybody was crying, shouting. I started feeling some pain. I was shivering. It was cold. I did not realize it was a bullet that speared through.
I saw people on the floor. Some are dead and some are crying. There's blood around them. Their bodies. People are shouting Jesus. That was the only thing I heard. Some people shouted Jesus.
My younger brother shot him on the chest. His name is Gideon. and he died at the age of 10.
I think we are 18 people that they are shot, and 12 are dead.
I saw my father bleeding seriously, but from the thigh. He's always kind, always tell us to read the Bible and be close to God. And that was the last time I saw. Not dead. Definitely one to the appointment again.
Hebrews 13:13 commands us to pray for those in prison. Unfortunately, that's not the only story. It continues to happen as we speak, as we sit here in our comfortable church that God has provided and paid off the mortgage and blessed us so. But I believe in God's love and mercy, the people He places in harm's way, He places plenty of other people to be convicted to pray for those in need. Amen? We'd like to take a little time, guys. If you open your bulletins, you'll see there's about 10 different countries in need of prayer. I'd like for you guys to take a few minutes here. We're going to spend about 10 minutes in praying. We gather in groups of 4 or 5. Somebody just take the lead and lift up one of the countries, any country that's on your heart, any people that might be on your heart. But we're going to take a few minutes and pray. So if you guys would like to gather around whoever's around you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Guys, I just want to encourage you guys, don't stop praying. If you need a reason to pray, that should be plenty reason enough. The handout in your bulletin, don't just toss it away. Take it home, stick it on your fridge. Carry it in your wallet, put it in your locker. We all need prayer, but there are definitely people living in areas that need it constantly in fervent prayers for the pressure they're under. As I was reading and going through Voice of the Martyrs and Open Doors, it was amazing to see. There's about 191 countries, I believe, as we speak this morning on the planet. And did you know that almost 150 countries, Christians are being persecuted? So it's not just happening in Saudi Arabia or Egypt that we see on the news. 3/4 of the planet is persecuting Christians. But there was a scripture that came up that was on the Voice of the Martyrs website, and it's some handouts that Jim Keller gave me, and it just kept getting repeated. And I said, before we show the last video, I wanted to read this scripture, because this is what God prompts our hearts. Whoever's up here praying or going to preach, we pray for God's input. We want God to speak to you guys. Not Gary, not Randy, not Mike, not Dave, not Dan, not anybody else that we have up here. We want to hear from God. Amen? And this scripture is Romans 8:28. If you could cue that up, guys. And then we're going to watch a video. But don't let this stop today, guys. Continue to pray. Pray for yourselves, but pray most importantly, because God wants to hear your needs, but pray for those that do not have it as good as we do, that are definitely living day to day, minute to minute, scared to death to gather in a building, wondering if they're going to be killed. You see, Steve painted this awesome picture up here, and it really impressed on my heart that in the midst of this, when you read in Scripture, Christ is hanging on the cross, and the other two thieves are hurling insults at him, along with everybody else going by. But God's grace and mercy is so awesome that it kind of represents the attitude of the world and God's children. Because in one instance, the thief on the right, he understood who Jesus was. He didn't have to get baptized. He didn't have to go to Sunday school. He didn't have to pass all this legal religious rigmarole. Christ told him hanging on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But yet on the other side, the thief continued to hurl insults. And that is the attitude of, unfortunately, a lot of the world. But I wanted to leave us with this, and then we're going to watch a video, guys. Romans 8:28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. That those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, and that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I want to thank, I don't remember which brother said it, brought it up to mind while we were praying, that we needed to pray for those doing the persecuting also.
That's right. Yes.
Yep. So we're going to watch a video, guys, and then we'll close in prayer.
There's a true story of a small village in India. And in this village, there was this family that came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This agitated the village so much, and everybody became so upset that an angry mob gathered and shoved them into the public square. The village chief confronted them, and he said to the man, "If you and your family will not recant your faith, you all will surely die." The man didn't know what to say or what to do. And so the only thing that came to mind for him were the words of a song that he himself had composed when he had first surrendered his life to God. And so he began to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." And with that, horrifically, his children were killed.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
He was given another chance, this time with his wife's life on the line. And yet he continued to sing, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back."
After her tragic death, he was given one final opportunity, this time to save himself. And yet he continued to sing.
Cross before me, the world behind. Cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Whoa. Even though that man and his family died on that day, something remarkable happened. A seed was planted in the heart of that village chief, a seed that began to grow over time, and eventually he called the community together in that very same neighborhood, in that very same square, and he renounced his former faith and declared his allegiance to Jesus Christ. And a celebration broke out in that moment, and the gospel began to flourish and to grow in that community, not just in that village, but across the whole region, because they had seen real faith, and they knew the true character of God because of a family that believed and sacrificed, even under the penalty of death.
No turning back.
Before we pray, guys, I want to encourage you guys, remember those being persecuted. Remember. Let it build your faith. Let it build your prayer life in praying for those in desperate need of your prayers. The most defining moment in man's history, his story, was when he hung on the cross and he rose again 3 days later. No other religion meets all the requirements that Jesus met as Savior and as Messiah. Amen. No other group of rules, regulations, religiosities meet the requirements of the perfect atonement on the cross. No one could have met those expectations, and no one did. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, I implore you to hear. God is trying to speak to you. Through the pain and suffering of those around the world, through the things that are happening in your life, God is speaking to you this morning. He is constantly whispering in your ear, please take the time and listen. Understand, Jesus is the life, the way, and the resurrection. Let's pray, guys. Father, continue to form in us a heart like yours, Almighty God. continue to give us that Christ-like heart for people we don't even know personally and will not meet until we stand before You, Heavenly Father. Give us the heart for fervent prayer, for continued, because sometimes that's the least we can do, and a lot of times that's the most we can do, is cry out unto the God who has the cattle on a thousand hills, who breathed and the universe exploded into being, who breathed into a pile of dust and gave Adam his life, who spoke and said, "It's finished," on the cross. And 3 days later, You rose from the dead, Lord, to prove that You are the one true living God. Hear our prayers, O God. We cry out for all those in need of You today around the world, and going to be in constant need of You until You, the God of justice, the God of righteousness, comes back to set things right. It's hard to look on these things sometimes, God. But You say vengeance is Yours. Your scales are holy and true, and we will all be held accountable for what we've done. Thank You, mighty Jesus. Hear our prayers in Your precious name, Jesus. Amen.